Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the end part. Exactly right. I mean, his job is to just turn the page, get on to the next one, fix it, and keep it moving.
Right.
It's not a crisis in that building the way that it is outside of that building.
Correct.
Every time something goes wrong or a couple
Correct.
Games go wrong or whatever.
Correct.
That's exactly right. Like, that's the job of a head coach or whatever, CEO, like a manager in baseball. One of the reasons we love Snit so much was he always had the big picture approach. Like, it's your job to keep everything calm,
right.
Keep it even keel. Like, if somebody, you know, if you have to fire someone, you fire them. If you have to make a move, you make a move, of course. But like, one of the things that got Raheem Morris the job in the first place was his demeanor.
Yes.
Was his ability to relate to players and coaches and stuff like that. And again, does that mean he's going to win Super Bowl? I don't know. I hope it does. But that he got the job by being himself.
Correct.
You have to continue to be yourself when you have the job as well. And when you start switching it up and acting overreactionary or whatever, then people start looking at you funny.
And that's why I was saying, when everybody talks about the yelling and getting and all those other, that's just not him. And he said that in the Dukes of Bell interview yesterday. It was basically like, what is that going to do? What is that going to solve?
Right. His job is to figure out what's going wrong.
And fix it.
Fix it. Keep everybody even keeled during so,
yep.
And then put it on the field on Sunday.
That's it.
And if they don't do that enough times, then he won't be here and you won't have to worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, this is results-oriented business.
The first part, unfortunately,
is he lying?
Isn't really that much of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, there's been, I mean, you know, 17, they were pretty good offense.
Yeah, they were
I think
good.
19, they had a pretty good offense.
Which year was that?
It was, I think that was year, sorry, 17 was actually down a little bit. 18 was year two with Sark. Year two with Sark was actually pretty good. I think they were a top 10 offense that year.
Okay.
But since then, I mean.
Yeah. Since then you had Marcus Mariota.
I don't think.
Desmond Ridder.
I think you just got to take what he said. Like, he didn't say they're as good as 16.
Because
no one would say that.
He said most since.
Yeah, since.
Yeah. He did say since.
And sadly, it's kind of true.
Kind of true, man. That's what I was thinking. I was like, hold on. Yeah, yeah, because you had some people overly emotional about that comment.
Now, I think that's more about how bad it's been.
Yes.
And I also don't think that's what he meant. I think he was trying to give his offense a compliment and say, we're actually pretty good now.
No,
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You're pretty good when you're able to do, you know. And the thing about it is like, all teams have something that they hang their hat on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All teams do. But other teams, more experienced coordinators, more experienced, you know, quarterbacks. You know, you find ways because the thing about play calling is it's setting up the next play. That's what Norvall was when I asked Norris was a long time ago. And he said the most important thing a play caller can do, obviously, put your players in the best position, but always be ready for the next play.
You answered my question that I asked you like 15 minutes ago. That was the final part of it right there when I said what tends to be the hallmark of teams that make good adjustments. Norv.
Yep.
Great coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously execution, personnel, all that. But like, teams that in game can identify what's not working and have a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times that happened before Sunday too. Like, the plan B is Thursday, Friday, meeting room. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't, in the moment, you're like, oh God, they're doing this. We've got to do this. We've never practiced it before. No, you got to be,
yeah, yeah.
You have to be versed in what you're trying to switch
exactly.
to also. But
And the thing about it is,
good coaching tends to be able to pivot well.
But and the thing about it, it's not one of those things where it's a complete switch. You know what I mean? Like it's other call. Like I'll use an example of a complete switch of a game plan because of what they did as far as scheme. We used to play the Patriots with Bill Belichick, right? They were a base, pretty much 3-4 defense box all week long because they played the Chargers the week before. They all week long putting this new play called Sam. All right, this new play called Sam. All right, 44 and whatever, Sam play. And so we come out there. That was going to be the second play of the game, Bonk. Second play of the game. All right. And we get out there, break the huddle first play. They're in a freaking 4-3 defense. So you're like, oh, hell. Can't pretty much run the run game that we had based on what the 3-4. So he had a 3-and-out. We'll go over the sideline. Okay, we're not going to be able to run Sam.
Scrap that.
And let's go back to our bread and butter play that we usually run against 4-down linemen.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that we did.
Which you had. And you had practice.
Yes.
And you knew how to do it.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, when you're talking about an overhaul of a whole offense on the sideline, no, that's not what we're talking about. Right. Adjust to what they're doing. All right. Dictate to them, and that's what the best thing about the best offense to dictate that's to you right. what they're going to do.
That's right.
They just do. All right, we're going to do this. All right. Yo, ass go over there like, okay, we got to bring a guy down. Okay, you got to line up a little tighter inside on his outside shoulder, all those different things. Usually when that happens, that means you kicking the defense's ass. Like Miami did that to Atlanta last week.
Yep.
You know,
49ers did too.
49ers did that to them also. Yep. Like, we're just going to attack you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know where your weaknesses are, and we're just going to attack it over and over, and we're going to do what we can to keep the personnel grouping that is maybe has y'all at a bind, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that on the field.
Yeah, and that was one of the little nuggets they gave us over the last couple of days too. Was I think they were surprised that the Dolphins, from what Zach Robinson said, they simplified their defense a little bit more than they had played. Maybe they had been doing a bit more in weeks before, and then they came into the Falcons game and really just drilled it down to what they wanted to do to attack Atlanta.
And sometimes you got to do that.
But then I guess that threw the Falcons off or whatever. But like, all right, well, this is what they're doing. Then you adjust and do what you can do against that.
Right.
There's always little adjustments and chess moves and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that you can't dictate to them what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do in order to hang your hat on anything.
Yes.
Like, again, I think there's a little peg on the wall that the Falcons want to hang their hat on, and it says run the ball with Bijan. But I don't think that peg's secured in the wall very well now, Randy.
No, it's not.
I don't think they hang their hat on it too good.
No, it's not. But I mean,
that little hook keeps falling out.
Yeah, you know but I mean? Think the biggest thing is, I mean, you can help Bijan out even more if you're able to make some plays in the pass game. If you can make some plays in the pass game, make more plays in the pass game, that helps your run game so much. I know the offense, the run game opens up things, play action. They don't play action, so it don't matter about running the ball. They don't play action here. But I think
I know.
Yeah.
So you don't even run to set up the pass anyway because you don't play action.
You don't play action anyways. And so, I mean, can you find ways to loosen up the defense is the most important thing. And that helps if you have Drake London and Moody getting better and better, and obviously Kyle Pitts is playing well. Can you figure out a way to do that?
Starting quarterback.
More importantly,
nice him to too. Have him out there.
Yeah, most important, him too. And so, I mean, from signs from yesterday, it seems like he's going to be ready to play this weekend.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Although it's the same thing they said last week.
Right.
Was he expects to play and all that kind of stuff. So, I hope.
Let's hope so. Especially if he, because if Kirk got all the bulk of the reps last week and looked the way he looked, if he's getting less reps. That don't sound good.
Yeah.
That's not very enticing there, Buck.
No, man. No. We're good on that one. We don't need to see that again. You really thought you could get one. You thought you could beat the Dolphins with Kirk Cousins playing quarterback, didn't you?
Yep.
If you had to have one or two games here and there with a backup in there. Because remember, it was you got the best backup in the NFL. Do you?
Do you?
Do you? Because if he was that good, he'd still be the starter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The Hawks won last night. Let's hear Jalen Johnson dunk the basketball.
So the Hawk lead is down to 10 again, 102-92 with 8:10 to go in the game. Jalen Johnson goes right down the lane, and he jams. Oh, Jalen went flying through the air and jammed that home with one hand. And it's 104-92, Hawks by a dozen.
Man.
Hawks get the win 117-112.
You had to, like, watch that first 6 or 7 minutes of that game.
That was a bad stretch.
That was brutal.
For the Hawks offense.
Yes, that was
a bad stretch.
Brutal.
They still somehow outscored Brooklyn by 7 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, because they finally
they were down 13 to nothing.
And they finally figured it out and all those different things. But yeah, that first 6 minutes was just brutal basketball. Awful. Ball hitting the side of the damn backboard.
Like airballed floaters.
Just ugly.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Yeah.
And I would say that the fourth quarter was pretty ugly too. Yes. Like there was some pretty bad execution.
Like you're just gonna let Brooklyn back in this thing. Man. Brooklyn don't want to win that damn game. Brooklyn don't want to win any game.
No, they're 0-5. Yeah, they're very
they don't want to win any games.
They're very
man.
Bad. They do have a couple of my favorite guys though. Like Cam Thomas is. We talked about this last week. I think when you were out, me and Abe. Cam Thomas is my number one seed for irrational confidence.
Okay.
He's sure he's Kobe in like 2008.
But the thing about it
like,
is,
he's sure about it.
They gave them the money to stay.
Sure.
Right.
Did they? They pay Cam?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did.
Well, they should. They should give him a max contract and let him do that forever. I want Cam Thomas taking 20 shots a night for the Nets for the foreseeable future. And then he's paired alongside Michael Porter Jr., who actually played really well last night, who is finally fulfilling his destiny.
Oh, I take that back.
I think that was Cam Johnson.
They
traded him.
What am I saying?
Cam Thomas.
Oh, Cam Thomas. I'm sorry.
They traded Cam Johnson.
They traded Cam Johnson
to
Denver. That's
Porter,
right. That's what it was. Okay.
One of the perfect trades in the NBA. And now Michael Porter is fulfilling his destiny as the star player on a lottery team.
Yeah, man. He was good last night.
He played really well.
Yeah, and he's going to be a guy. He's going to put up big numbers and all those different things, and they're still going to stink.
Yep.
The biggest thing coming out of the last night game is Trae Young.
That's right.
And you just hope that it's nothing serious. Saw that guy just fell on his leg. Trae tried to go back in, but you saw I just couldn't go. Went immediately back to the locker room. Did they do the MRI yet or no?
We haven't heard.
You haven't heard anything yet? Okay.
The update on that. I mean, just guessing because it's so early in the season and it's one of those things. They said it's not like an ACL. It's not like a big internal knee issue.
Right.
There's no timeline yet.
Right.
Probably a week. You know?
Let's hope so.
You know what it is?
Let's hope so, dude, man, because, yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm interested to see what they look like without him just because there's so many new guys and, like, you need to figure out who's the backup point guard.
How about
anyway.
My guy Walker going down the lane trying to wrap around? Oh, God.
He played really good last
night. Did you see the way he going down the lane trying to wrap around his body? I was like, oh, hell.
Are you doing a little bit too much?
Yeah, just a little bit too much.
Pete and, Wallace played pretty good in his 14 minutes, too.
And it looks like, your big three-point guy was Luke Kennard was
really good. Finally shot the basketball.
Yeah, really good.
Let it fly, Luke.
Let it fly, Luke. Hey, this Saturday, noon to 2, join Ali Mack and Lou Saab. Kia in Cummings as we get you ready for Sunday's big game. Obviously, the one lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rolling Stamp Plus. There will be tickets for the upcoming home games. That's this Saturday, noon to 2, from Lou Saab Kia in Cummings with Ali Mack.
First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, talk a little Georgia, Florida ahead of their matchup on Saturday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.